Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Army letters, correspondence of Alexander Smoot, 1932 to 1939, is the story of an American family during one of the harshest times in history. The author is Jeffrey Smoot, Alexander's oldest son. Jeffrey is a retired history teacher. He has a B.S. from Penn State and a master's from Salisbury University. He spent 4 years in the U.S. Coast Guard before attending college. He was a longtime high school baseball coach. He's active in his church and community. Jeffrey Smoot, author of Army Letters, Correspondence of Alexander Smoot, is our guest on This Week in America. And we welcome him back to the program. Jeffrey, welcome back. A pleasure to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to speak to you, Rick.
I love talking about your father, the book, what you have done with this. The book is Army Letters, Correspondence of Alexander Smoot, 1932 to 1935. Talk about the reason for writing the book. Why did you feel this was an important piece of history that you wanted to share with everybody?
Well, there's really the background is I was a history teacher and also an adjunct professor at Salisbury State, and I taught AP U.S. history. And every time that I wanted the kids to get really into it and understand what was going on at a certain time, if I could find prime material or, you know, material that was from that era, I would have them read it. And when I got these letters from my aunt, which I didn't know she had, that had been sent by my father from Hawaii when he was stationed there in the early 1930s, I you know, didn't really put much mind to it until after I retired from teaching. And then I got reading them, and I said, you know, this is the kind of thing that an adjunct professor or a professor in some college that wants the people to understand what it was like for two reasons. One, to be a soldier in Hawaii before World War II, and two, to understand how the Depression was affecting small families around America. So that was the main reasons that I decided to put this book together. And the book, everything in the book is just verbatim from what my father did. I added nothing to it. I even made sure that the misspellings, the few that there are, were included in there. And I just tried to make it as factual as possible. But remember, it's a anecdotal experience of a soldier in Hawaii for 2 years in the early 1930s.
And that's why it's so valuable. It's interesting reading some of the readings, and you'll get people that will say, I wish I would have had this in my history class in school. You bring it alive. You've got the date, so the timeline is there. You're getting information that you wouldn't normally get in a history textbook. It really is a treasure trove that you found in these letters, isn't it?
Oh, my. That's exactly what you just said is exactly my reasons for, you know, preserving this. I'll call it a legacy of his letters. First of all, I was really astonished that my grandmother kept these letters all these years. And then my aunt got the letters when my grandmother passed on, and I didn't know she had them until, just before I put this together and published it back in the teens.
What was it like when you read these letters, and you've got a real understanding of your father, this when he was, in the service, just out of high school, what he went through, the coming of age process that your father went through? I'm sure a whole different side of your father that you never knew, maybe heard some in stories, but never in the depth that you found in these letters. What was this like with this relationship, newfound relationship with your dad?
It was a wonderful experience, and I'll be quite frank with you. When my father, after I retired, my father would come over and visit, and they had a water problem in the small town he lived, Sharptown, Maryland, and they would bring gallon jugs over to get water. And we would sit on the back porch and talk, and he would sit there and drink ice water, and we would chat and whatever. And I never even knew, he didn't mention that he had written all these letters, but he talked occasionally about his experiences in Hawaii. But the one thing that impressed me when I read the letters, the first letters, was it was a side of my father that I hadn't known, but it fit right in with how much I knew about him after I grew up. So I was very pleased to be able to read these, and I read them all the way through twice before I decided this is something that I need to put on paper and make it available. If anybody would be interested, here it is, you know.
Well, so many people are interested and enjoying a different look at history. The book is Army Letters, Correspondence of Alexander Smoot, 1932 through 1939. The title says it all. The author is the son of Alexander, Jeffrey Smoot. The book available, pageturner.us in the bookstore, of course, Amazon, all the usual places. Let's go back to this period of in time. Sort of set the table for us. What was it like, the living conditions right in the Depression in the early 1930s? What was it like living during that time period?
Quite honestly, you know, he graduated back when he graduated high school. It was only 11 grades. He graduated and he went to try to find a job. He lived in he left the Eastern Shore, went to Baltimore for a while, and then he went to Reading, where my grandmother lived. But the Depression, it was very difficult to get jobs. So he thought the best avenue for him was to enlist in the Army. And, of course, when he went in the Army, he was kind of fooled but very optimistic that when he went in, because he had a college education, which he figured would help him quite a bit, and his background, no, I say a college education, he had a very good high school education, and his background was such that he thought he would get promoted very rapidly. He ran into a real thing that was very hurtful to him, because during the Depression, one of the things that happened, a lot of Army veterans from World War One couldn't get a job. They went back in the service, and of course, when they went back in, they resumed their rate that they went in. So here he was, a basic private on the bottom rung of a ladder of a long line, rather, of people who were ahead of him, but it had this 3, 4, 5 years experience in the Army. And so it was really a blockade to him ever getting promoted. So he went in as a private. He made private first class, but that's as far as he went. And he was very upset by that. And as you read in the book, the pay was minuscule compared to what we talk about today. And he had hope that he would be able to provide monies for his family back home in Reading, but that was not to be. I mean, he was always on the short end of the stick, because he never had enough money. He would once in a while be able to send $5 home, but that was not to be. And the basic reason was the Depression really crushed promotions in the Army. And back then, you know, we were more or less isolationist. There was a strong feeling in the 30s of not getting involved in the world affairs and what have you. So there he was in Hawaii, and he was a soldier, just a grunt. He played baseball and played some football. And, of course, he was leading to the point where he had hoped to go to the Army Academy, West Point, but he had flat feet and couldn't pass the physical for that, although the Army did let him in. And he decided that when he got out, he would go to college, and he ended up going to Albright College in Reading, Pennsylvania, and got his education. And then from there on, came back to the Eastern Shore, and I was a result of him marrying my mother while he was in Reading.
It's an amazing story. Army Letters, Correspondence of Alexander Smoot, 1932 through 1935. Jeffrey Smoot, his son, author of the book, back with us on the program. Book available, pageturner.us in the bookstore, Amazon, the usual places. A link to the Page Turner bookstore by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Tell me about the mindset of your dad. Here's this young man. He decides he doesn't want to be a burden to the family. He will enter into the military, hopefully be able to send some money back home. And you talked about that wasn't a lot he was able to send back home. But he's in Hawaii. He's far from home. The only connection to his loved ones back home are the letters that he's sending. What was it like for him from a mental standpoint to go through this being so far away?
Well, actually, I thought he held up very well. He enjoyed playing baseball. Of course, my grandfather was with the same. He played for the St. Louis Cardinals at the early part of the 20th century. Played 6 years with the Cardinals in Cincinnati in the big leagues, And my dad was a good baseball player, and his brother was a really good baseball player. And dad had hopes earlier of maybe going in and playing professional baseball, but the situation at that time, baseball was a lot different than it is now. It was very low pay, and he didn't think he would ever have a chance to do that. Although his brother played professional baseball, so what he did to occupy his time was, of course, he tried to learn typing, which he did. He went to typing class that was provided there on the island, and he used to go to what they called these fights that they would have. Army had fights, and they had teams, like major league teams, would come to the Hawaii and play exhibition games, and he played football, but mainly I think he held up very well. I mean, his mental state, other than being so disappointed about not being able to get a promotion, that was mainly the only thing that bothered him. But he looked forward to when he would be able to go back home and go to college, and maybe possibly from then on be able to help his family much more than he did.
He had a sense of humor, too, didn't he? There are humorous moments in the book. As you're reading, you'll smile as to what he's going through and his observations on what's going on sometimes around him.
Oh, that, I enjoyed that so very much, because he did have a good sense of humor. He was very good with people. After he got out of service, and then after he got his education, he went and worked for DuPont Company. And everybody that worked for him enjoyed how personable he was, and he became a coach of American Legion baseball, and was very successful in that. And I think that's what inspired me to become a coach. I loved playing for my dad, and he just put everything into whatever he did, and I always hoped that I could model myself after that. It was so inspirational to have him as a father, and that's one of the reasons I use the word legacy. I hope to preserve his legacy, because one of his legacies was his ability to get along with people. He was very good at that.
He had a special relationship, a tenderness with his mother, didn't he?
Very, very much so. Matter of fact, if you look at the letters, most of them start out with "my dearest mother," you know, or
yes,
something to that effect. I mean, it showed that very strong ties that he had. And of course, a lot of that, I think, came from the fact that my grandfather died very young, and dad was only, you know, a young man. He was just still in school when his father died, and I think that had a big impact on him. It drew him to be very dependent upon his mother, and she was my grandmother was again a wonderful person. I think that's where he got his personality. She was very talented musically, and she passed on a lot of her academic interests, I think, to my father. And they used to talk about reading the books in the original Latin, and of course that escaped me. I think I never inherited that ability, but they used to talk about you know, the classics and the Shakespeare and things like that. And my grandmother was a very, very intellectual person in that sense. But also, she was what I would say was a great mother. I know she was a great grandmother, but my land, she really adored her children, and I think she did everything possible to make their life as easy as possible.
Talk about his role in the military in Hawaii. This was during the early 1930s, 1932 through 35, preparation for an impending war that everybody thought was possible to happen, and they were setting up for it there. What were the conditions like? What jobs did he do with the Army in Hawaii?
All right, that's a good question, because one of the things that he expresses, and you'll read it in the letters too, he was very dedicated to trying to seek some kind of position that that he would you know, be more comfortable in the Army. He loved the training exercises they had, and some of the stories in there where they used to go on these long hikes up the volcanoes and what have you. They're just fascinating. But he again, keep in mind the frustration of never being able to get promoted because of the blockade of the old soldiers there. But I think he really enjoyed the Army, because after he got out, we used to sit on the back porch. He talked about the things that were good about it, but he did also express the frustration, and that was one of the reasons, although he had thought about reenlisting, he thought that that was a dead end, so he decided that, you know, to pursue going home and going to college or whatever. But his experiences were everything from the hiking to the shooting, and he thought about getting involved in artillery and possibly some other function of the Army that they were doing. But keep in mind, this was before the World War II, and they were preparing to protect from any attack. And he used to talk in the book a lot about how they would nobody ever would be able to attack Hawaii because they were so prepared. They could defend any invasion or whatever. But I don't think anybody at that time imagined an air attack like we had at Pearl Harbor. And I don't think he ever even had it in the back of his mind. And we talked about that on the porch sessions that we had. And he said that that was one thing that was just unbelievable. He was actually stationed at the areas that, like in Schofield Barracks, places like that, that were devastated by the bombing. And he has fond memories of his days there, but he said he was horrified by what had happened in the attack.
It's a fascinating look at history. Army Letters, correspondence of Alexander Smoot, 1932 through 1935. Jeffrey Smoot back with us on the program. Smoot is S-M-O-O-T. The book available, pageturner.us in the bookstore, Amazon, usual places, a Page Turner link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. It gives us a glimpse through his letters of what the social issues, what people were dealing with at that time, in that era. Talk a little bit about that, because it's a fascinating look back at what 1932, 1935 was like from a social and political standpoint.
Well, my grandmother would, you know, write letters to him, and I don't have any of those letters. but what I read from the letters that he wrote, he was responding to what she said about what was going on back home. And she actually took in boarders to try to make ends meet. And he would talk about that. But he would also talk about what she apparently had written about the really tough times, about being able to buy groceries and food and especially like coal for the furnace that they used and what have you. And I think was so disappointed that he couldn't help them more. But in that period of the 30s, that was, the early 30s were really when the Depression was at its deepest dark point. And I think, recognized how difficult it was for his mother and for his younger sister, which, of course, she's the one that gave me the letters, to live regularly, as normal people, because there wasn't anything normal about the early 30s. It was a very depression-like era where it was a day-to-day existence, and in many cases, there were days when they didn't have enough to eat on certain days. So I really appreciate how he handled that, and of course, I know that promoted a lot of his anxiety to try to help that family as much as possible. He even would send occasionally a little bit of money to his sister, who was at Reading High School, and he wanted to make sure that she would be able to do some of the things that she was offered and given the opportunity to do. But he was disappointed he couldn't do more.
The book is Army Letters, Correspondence of Alexander Smoot, 1932 through 1935. Couple minutes left in the program, going by way too quickly. I mentioned the educational value of this. I always hesitate using the word educational. Somebody's going to think it's like a textbook. There's nothing that's going to be entertaining about it. It is entertaining, and you will learn something at the same time. And it has what, timelines, dates, locations? Talk about that, because from a history standpoint, it's all laid out right there for us, isn't it?
Oh, yes. First letter is begins on August 3rd, 1932, and that's on his journey towards Hawaii. He talks about his trip over there and how he got there and then it talks about, you know, the 2 years he spent in Hawaii, and then his coming home. And of course, one of the things he always talked to me about, he said he just missed being able to stand guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at the R. Arlington Cemetery, but at the at Arlington, and remain a guard there. And I'm not sure when that the tomb was placed, but I know he really wanted to be a guard at Arlington, but he got discharged before he was able to do that. But you know, the time frame is really from 32 through up to 35, and anyone who is an educator or a student of history of that is a collection of letters that I think dig deep into the feelings of an individual who lived that time and who was able to put the things on paper that he experienced. And also, you get an inclination of what it was like back home, because he always is mentioning people and things that his mother apparently had written to him about. So I think it's a very good thing, and I would highly recommend it to any educator who uses primary source material, because that's the kind of thing that I really wrote this for. I wasn't thinking about, you know, writing it for a bestseller or whatever. But as far as the ease of reading, it's the kind of thing, and I don't hope this is too gross, but it's the kind of thing, a book you would take to the bathroom and you could read two or three letters, and the next time read two or three
yes,
more.
Yes, and continue the story, yes.
It's that kind of thing.
Well, the book is available now, and I mentioned the book available at Page Turner in their bookstore, Amazon. Talk about, you wanted, I'm sure, to make this book accessible. What's the best format for the book, and how do you recommend people buy and use the book?
Well, of course, if you're in a class, I would suggest that there are two options. I mean, you can get it online for a very cheap price. I think it's like $2.75 or something like that if you download it. But it's also purchased paperback, and I would recommend, like, if you're a student in college and you're going to get the book, I like to keep it. So getting it downloaded to me would be something that, if you know, necessary if you were assigned it. But if you're really interested in history, I think purchase of a paperback edition would be the best way to go, because then you could read it, you could underline, you could refer to it and whatever. And I know if you're going to be a history person, a history teacher, or ever use history in your whatever you do for a living, it would be the kind of thing that I think you'd like to have.
And you can pass on to other family members and give to a neighbor as you're telling the story, and he wants to read about what it was like during this early period, the Depression and the preparation for war, World War II. I want to just wrap up, and you touched on it briefly, but just a minute or so, with how your dad adjusted to coming back. He would have stayed, and he talks at length about, going up the ladder, you just can't go up the ladder. You come back to civilian life.
Right.
How did he adjust to that?
Well, you know, when he came back, there was a brief period before he finally was able to get into Albright College. He enrolled in Albright, and from what I understand, he played baseball there, and I don't know how they did it, whether he was able to get scholarship money. I never knew that or what, but he played baseball, a really good baseball player, and but he had plans of becoming a teacher. But when he got out, by then he was married, and I was there, and my two brothers were on the way. And I think he decided he'd best get a job. So he moved back to the Eastern Shore, which is his home place where he, you know, was born. And he got a job with DuPont, and that's where he lived, worked the rest of his life, and retired from DuPont. But I think that there were times when he yearned for the fact that he wished he had been able to teach, because, well, teaching back then, as it is today, was not the greatest high-paying job.
Yes.
But he the quote that comes to mind every time I think of him, he endeavored to persevere. Which is from an old movie, but he did persevere, and I the thing I most admire about him is that he did not mope and pout about his condition. He dealt with it. And I think that's the most important thing that I learned from him. You just deal with whatever comes up. You can't whine and cry. You just have to, you know, meet whatever obstacles there are and deal with them. And I think that was one of his codes that he believed in.
He has to be quite proud of you and taking these letters and publishing them. He is a teacher in essence, isn't he? He has his letters that so many people are reading and reliving and learning about what happened during this period in history. Army Letters, Correspondence of Alexander Smoot, 1932 through 1935. Guest on the program is his son, Jeffrey Smoot, Jeffrey B. Smoot, the book available at pageturner.us, the bookstore, Amazon, links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Jeffrey, a pleasure having you on the program. Love talking about the book and your dad and his insights into that period of history, 1932 through 35. Thank you for being back with us on the program. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you a lot, Rick, and thanks for pointing out that he really eventually became a teacher. I like that point very much so. So you have a good day. I really appreciated it, and thank you for the interview.
Well, thank you very much. You were the facilitator in getting his word out there as a teacher, and he's touching lives with the book Army Letters, Correspondence of Alexander Smoot, 1932 through 1935. All the information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We are back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.